Everybody for attending. Pleased to see you all. And what I want to cover today, by the way, I'm not the person that was originally down for this event. So I'm Stephen Blake. I'm also a hypnotherapist, as was the guy that was originally going to take this. So I took over the titles, had to sort of bring something along about the same content as what was going to be delivered. So please forgive me if this is not exactly what you thought it would be. But hopefully you'll get quite a lot out of it. So I'm going to talk about... So I'm going to talk about various things, and then right at the end we're going to do an example where I'm going to get you to get in touch with your unconscious mind. Okay? If you don't want to do that by the time I get there, that's absolutely fine. So for those of you that do, I'll show you the easiest way in the world to get in touch with your unconscious. And it doesn't involve trance or anything. So... welcome to Creative Hypnosis, The Power of the Mind. Now, everybody talks to me now about that latest programme back in the room. I haven't actually seen it. But just to let you know, the sort of basis of hypnosis is just a light trance state whereby you have better access to your unconscious mind than you do on a normal day. Now, we all drift in and out of this state of hypnosis every single day without realising it. And you'll have all done this
too. Shut it, because it's too...
Right. No opening windows?
Just a little bit,
if you're all right. Yeah. That was good. Well volunteered. If you get frozen, we'll move
too. She's frozen anyway.
Okay, so, we all drift in and out of hypnosis every day. Anybody notice this at all? Anybody actually had hypnosis or hypnotherapy? Just one, two, three, four, five. Five people. Okay. Right. So, I know what level to pitch it at then. Okay, so the actual act of hypnosis is, if you go to a hypnotherapist, you're actually going along with an issue that you need dealing with. And the way that the mind works is, if you can get to the unconscious part of it and deal with it there, that's a lot better than trying to deal with the conscious, with the willpower. So this is why it's done at that sort of level in the trance-like state. But a trance-like state is nothing to be concerned about. And when you see programmes like Back Into the Room, that's a vastly exaggerated use of hypnosis. This is people volunteering to be stupid. Right? This is people who would go on there and make a fool of themselves anyway without a trance. So it just adds to the fact that they can get away with doing anything they like then, because they'd go, well, it wasn't me, I was in a trance, they made me do it. Well, trance work, you can't really make anybody do anything against their will. And particularly with hypnotherapy, like I do, people are coming along to have a problem resolved. And so, therefore, they're open to whatever suggestion goes in there that will correct that. So there's an agreement before you start of, this is what I've come for, this is what we're going to deal with, and I can't implant something else that they don't want. So I couldn't say, well, you know you paid me, but you didn't actually, so you can pay me again. I can't throw that bit in, it won't work. Okay. So, there's two sides of the mind. Now, I really don't make anything technical at all. I read a lot of technical stuff, but then I just put it down to layman's language. So, it doesn't matter whereabouts in your brain are things working. When we have thoughts, we actually have a conscious bit that we're aware of. So, we hear the voice in the head. And if you're saying, what voice in my head? That's the voice. Okay, so you're already tapped into it. So there's the conscious bit that we're aware of, and we think we're clever with that conscious bit because we know what we've achieved and everything else, and we think that's what makes us clever. In reality, the unconscious brain is far superior, and that's why I call it the unconscious. So you, I sometimes call it subconscious, but you rarely catch me doing it, and I get my face slapped or whatever by other hypnotherapists, because it's not sub to anything. It's not under the conscious, it's way above the conscious level. But the reason we have a conscious mind is to actually control the unconscious mind. And it's our sort of, we're directing the ship, if you like. Which is great, because if you are the captain of the ship, you don't have to stoke the coal and clean the decks and everything else. You just have to say, well, we're going in this direction, please. And everybody knows their job and does it.
And as long as you direct them in the right way for where you want to be or where the passengers want to go, then everything's fine. But as a human, we're actually not very good at directing the unconscious. Because the unconscious is like all the people on the ship that run the ship, actually saying, "All right, you know, we're off to Zeebrugge today." And the captain goes, "No, I think we're going to Dover today." But he doesn't tell anybody why. And that's what we do when we change our habits and things. We're actually giving it a new instruction, and it starts to react because it goes, "Whoa, whoa, no, no, we're off to Zeebrugge." And the brain's going, "No, no, we're doing this new thing now, we're going to go off to Dover, and everybody will love it." And it's going, "But no, that's not where we go." So you get a rebellion. And that's why you can't do lots of things with willpower, because you've actually got to overcome that unconscious loop that's in the background. So, this is my way of explaining it. If you've been on holiday and you've handed your case in at the airport, you'll realise that at the other end you have to go and get it back again. And this loop of suitcases come round, and you have to look out for yours. And if you're clever, you mark it with some sort of tag, or else every black suitcase that comes past you, and "Is that mine? Is that not?" But if you put a nice little red ribbon around, you know it's yours, and you can pull it out. Now imagine the rest of your life that you've got this loop of thoughts going round, and these are your programs that you've learned from an early age. And you believe all these programs are real and that they're the best thing possible for you. And by habit, we've actually committed lots of things to this. And everything we've learned about relationships and so on all goes around this. Now, this baggage is different to the one at the airport because every bag on it is yours. Yeah? And it's all got a different emotion or some rubbish in there that you're carrying around with you. Now, when you go on holiday, you actually pack a case and you think, "Well, I'm going to a hot country, there'll be some, you know, nights out where we're going for posh meals, there'll be some days on the beach," and you put everything in it you need for that particular holiday, plus a bit more. And you try and cover all the eventualities. But when we live our lives, we're actually taking the baggage from the year before that, the year before that, the year before that, all on holiday with us. So we end up with this massive load of luggage just to go on the trip that we call life. And we don't need it. We really don't need it. So, something happens and you feel that something's gone wrong in your relationship, for instance. So, in this relationship, there'll be a few people who recognise it, that you say hardly anything and World War II breaks out. And you think, "What on earth did I say?" And it's never what you've just said. Right? It's a trigger that takes somebody to open up this emotional baggage that's going around, this suitcase that's called relationships, and they take the new thing that's come along that's offended them slightly, and they drop it in with all the other stuff in there and stir it up. And then you get the, "I've heard this before, last time it was this," and yeah. And you'd start mixing and matching to every bit of old stuff in your suitcase. And that's what's happening all the time with every bit of your life. There's these programs running away. A lot of them are doing you no good at all. And it's catching those out and getting rid of them. So a lot of people hate change, but if you've got something that you keep doing over and over again, and you keep getting the result that you don't actually want, it's about time to stop doing it and put something new in its place. And you can quite easily do this. So instead of looking in this suitcase and adding the new bit in, stirring it up, and then get real upset about it, you can actually say, why am I so angry at the moment? That's what's just happened. So what else is there that I've associated with that got me to this fever pitch state? And if you can work that one out, then you can actually deal with it, but you don't deal with it consciously. So a lot of people now do mindfulness. Anybody here do mindfulness? Anybody really struggling with mindfulness?
Yeah, it's hard
yes.
to get your head
around. Yes, okay. So in mindfulness, the idea is to sort of like make your head vacant, if you like, and things will come in that you can then deal with. But the trouble is that with the mind, it's got lots of things on it anyway, and things keep passing through. all triggered by little bits of things going on, associations probably with the previous thought. So it's this mixed bag of emotions. So you've got lots of things going on in your head. Now, let's say you've got 15 things going on in your mind at the same time. As each one comes round and gets to the conscious bit, and you go, oh, I've got to remember to run somebody to the shops tomorrow, or I've got to do this, or I must put the washing in, or I must do that, you actually start building up this list of things you've got to do. And when we build up this list, we also start to work on all the aspects of doing it. So virtually, if you think of something through in detail the day before you do it, you actually do it twice. You do it once in your head with all the detail, and you know, what will I have to buy, have I got everything I need for it, and so on. And then the following day you end up with this, then you actually do it. So if you've got 15 things on your head and you haven't written them down or whatever, anything that springs into your mind will seem more urgent and important than what it is. Because you realise there's 15 things on your mind and you go, oh, and then it comes out and then you go, oh, right, I've got to do that. I really must get that done. I must do it while I'm remembering it. But that puts it further up the list than what it should be. Now, if you actually say to yourself, I need to quiet my mind down, and you go, right, stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. You've now got 16 things going on in your mind. Because you've got to stop it in there. Right? So this is where mindfulness sort of falls down a bit, because it's very difficult to get that sort of calmness and, you know, throw everything out and let it drift through you and so on. And so we usually do breathing techniques and everything else, which really puts you into a trance-like state. Because if you focus on your breathing, it actually takes up most of your conscious facility. Can we have that door open a little bit more?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We'll open it for a bit and then close it.
Yeah, magic. So, your conscious mind, the bit we think we're clever with, holds 8 bits of data. That's a telephone number. If I read my phone number out to you one digit at once, and then carried on talking, you'd either hear me talking, or you'd remember my phone number, but you can't do both at once. That's how little our conscious mind holds. Your unconscious mind has 100 trillion data connections that can all connect to each other and in sequences. And the number of connections there is thought to be the same number of atoms in the universe. It's a fantastic amount. So today's title is Creative Hypnosis. So the creative bit comes from the fact that if you just work on what's already in there, the loop that's just going round, it's very difficult to be creative with it. Because it's a loop that says, this is how the world runs, this is how it works. So everything we've ever learned, so you start off with the basic brain will be wired in such a way for survival. So we know how to eat, we know how to drink, we know how to poo and wee, we know how to breathe, we know how the stomach works, we can regulate our blood, our temperature. You've been breathing every second since the minute you were born. Your heart's beat every second since the minute you were born. It does all this thing in the background. So when we think about the capacity of the conscious brain and the capacity of the unconscious brain, it pays to actually send most things across to the unconscious and say, here, get on with this. Because if it's doing 100,000 tasks in any one day, give it 2 more jobs, it's nothing. Anybody work in an office where there's somebody who's very busy all the time and somebody lazy? Which one would you give the task to if you wanted it done? You'd actually give it to the busy one. Because you know the lazy one just won't get it done. But the busy one will somehow fit it in with all the 90,000 jobs they're doing. And it's the same with your brain. You pass something over to it. So when we learn something new for the first time, so for instance, all of you, those of you that drive, when you get in a car the first time, and they start to tell you about the clutch and changing gear, and they start to say, right, well, you put that pedal down there, now put it in gear, and now you've got to bring that up, but at the same time, you've got to drop this one down. That's what a stupid system, eh? Meant to confuse. So you start doing this, and then the driving instructor says, mirror, and you go, whoa, I've got this pedal, I've just put it in gear, I'm not doing mirrors as well. Come back another day. And you can even bounce down the road. Did anybody else do that? you get in the car now, all of those that you can drive, and I bet you £10 you cannot get it to jerk down the road. Because the second it starts jerking, you'll put the clutch in. Or you'll let the clutch out, or you'll accelerate, or you'll do something that corrects it. But when we're learning, we just can't cope with all that, and we just don't know what's happening, and we freeze at that point, and it just carries on. But as soon as we've learned it a few times, then it passes over to the unconscious, and you go, here, you have it. Now, this is how we get habits. So if we eat too much or drink too much, we're actually saying to the body, oh, I love this, I really love this, and it doesn't matter if I get fat, because I really love eating. And then we get to the point where we go, oh, I don't like being fat, I'll go on a massive diet. And you're actually saying to the brain now, oh, we're going to have a new program in there. And it's going, oh, no, you really like this. I have lots of people who come to see me and say, can you get me to stop drinking wine? And I go, yeah, do you want to? And they go, no. Give us a break. They somehow think I can get in there and force them to, and I say, well, I can make you hate it and not want to drink it again. I can do that if you want me to. But I can't get you to sort of like, oh, I like it, but I don't want it. It doesn't work like that. So all these programs that are running in the background, they need to have something stronger that replaces them or tells them that this isn't going to happen anymore. And this is what I'm going to talk about today, is this creative bit of actually saying, how do we get it from being just willpower of me going, I'm going to give up cigarettes, I'm going to give up cigarettes, I'm going to sue, and then, oh, I'll give them up, but I really like them. It just doesn't work. And willpower only lasts for as long as you can concentrate on the thing that you're doing. Bearing in mind there's 8 bits of data floating around there, somebody says your name and you're out of it. So the typical example of you being in trance every day is, do we have any avid readers here of novels? Okay, every time you read a novel, you're not even looking at words on a page anymore once you get into the story. You should think about it. You're reading a story, you're actually visualising the stagecoach or whatever going past, and you're in that actual moment. You're actually in the book. Somebody comes in the room and says your name, and you have to come out of the book. No. And then you go back in a split second, and you're back in the book again, and you're in the story. That's a trance. When we drive the car down the road and we go, have I got through those traffic lights yet? And then you think, oh God, I have. And then you think, oh, that must have been so dangerous. I can't even think that we went through a traffic light. No, you're actually safer like that. Because this is your unconscious looking after you. It's actually doing the driving. If you actually find yourself sort of daydreaming and then look up, you'll be at a safer distance from the car in front than you normally are. It's very difficult to sort of shunt up the back end of somebody and try and go too fast whilst you're in that unconscious trance mode. So your unconscious job, your unconscious has this filter between the two things. So your conscious talks to your unconscious, and it talks in English or whatever language is your natural language. And in fact, bilingual people can talk to it in both languages. But in general, the body understands language. And the mind, body, your health, your emotions are inseparable. So when people say that this is, oh, no, this is actually a physical disease, I've actually got real pain, yes, it is. It always is. Right? Because the mind and body cannot be separated out. You can actually turn off pain. Pain, when it's not needed anymore, can be turned off. And you do that through your brain. Your brain's running your heart, your lungs, your temperature, everything else. Your health comes from actually keeping your immune system healthy. So as soon as we do things that interfere with that, we eat the wrong food, or we drink the wrong things, or we overdo things, or like at Christmas, just think of when you always get ill. Isn't it during your Christmas break or your holiday break? And it's not down to the fact that, oh, you can let go now from the stresses of work. It's actually we let go, and then we overdo it with the drink and everything else. We do excesses of everything. And the body can't deal with it, and your immune system crashes, and then you come down with a cold or a flu, which normally you would have fought off. You've just lowered your immune system. And the brain understands you talking to it about illnesses. This is why you can turn pain off with it. You can actually talk to it and say, you know, do I need this pain anymore? I know I've got arthritis, so why do I need the pain? And if you bargain with it in such a way, it will actually go, sounds good to me. So and it can literally turn pain off in an instant. And it can do the same with lots of other illnesses. IBS, all sorts of things can be controlled through the mind because there's something there that's wrong that's happening in your body. And it's in control of all those processes. So as soon as you tell it that something isn't how it should be, if it believes you, and this is where quite often a hypnotherapist or something comes in, because you're seen as an authority figure, so if you tell it, it might go, I can't believe that. Whereas if an authority figure comes along, it actually goes, oh, well, it must be right then. And it'll believe it. And as soon as it believes it, more than it believes the existing program that's there, it can let go of it. And it can throw it out. Now, the mind is wonderful from the point of view that anything you believe, you can bring on. So you can, the law of attraction and things like that. The law of attraction usually has a few bits missing from it. So when they call it the secret, they also miss a few bits out of the secret. And one of the things is action. And this rarely gets a mention. So it's no good me going, right, I really believe I'll get rich next week, I really believe I'll get, I'm going to win the lotto next week, I'm going to win the lotto next week, I will now win the lotto if I don't buy a bloody ticket. And yet we do the same with lots of other things. We want things, we ask the universe to provide it, and then we go, whew, why hasn't it done it? But in general, whatever we think about is what we attract into our life, because we notice it. So if we're always positive about things, we notice all the positive things in life. And if we're always negative about things, we notice all the bad things that happen to us. And then we tell everybody else. And everybody goes, oh, every time I'm bumping, I'm learning, I'm growing, it's like these things. And we all have friends who, every time you see them, there's a major disaster. And they tell you it like it's a major disaster. And then when you listen carefully, it's like the postman was 10 minutes late. What? And you want to scream at them. And they go, and that's not only that,
he did it the day before.
Oh, God. So, the thing most people don't realise about the brain is it doesn't understand negatives. So any negative word you put in there to describe what you want, it misses out. Just visualise it as though you're actually seeing in pictures. So when you think about something, I like my biscuit example. We sit on the settee, because I've dealt a lot with weight loss. You sit on the settee all night, and then suddenly the brain goes, biscuits in the cupboard. Right? Biscuits in the cupboard. So the next thought, because you're on a diet, is mustn't eat the biscuits. Mustn't eat the biscuits. Now, you actually just said, eat the biscuits, because the brain doesn't understand negatives, so it throws out the mustn't, because you're now picturing the packet of biscuits. So you go, mustn't eat the biscuits, mustn't eat the biscuits, and then you go, and you get out your chair and you go, no, I really mustn't eat the biscuits, and you're headed towards the cupboard, and you go, I don't know why I'm going towards this cupboard, because I mustn't eat these biscuits. And then you get the packet out and you go, I'll just have the one. And then you go, I mustn't eat the whole packet. Eat the whole packet. And you start going down there and you get to the very last one. You think, I've been a right pig now. But at least I didn't start the next packet. That's it there again. So if you think about anything often enough, you actually attract that into your life because that's what you're looking for all the time. If you suddenly think, oh, I'm fed up on my job, I need a new job, you'll actually start to see job opportunities. Whereas if you just whinge about your job for the next 10 years, one won't appear. Right? It's because you're now looking in the right places. You talk to the right people, you mention it to somebody who mentions it to somebody, and then somebody gets back to you. Right? So the law of attraction isn't that difficult. It just leads you to action. But it has to be a positive phrasing rather than a negative. How are we doing for time?
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. Right. I'm going to do a little exercise in a few minutes. Just to make sure everybody's on track, I'm going to let you have a bit of a question session. If you can, try not to make it too personal with a long answer. But anything that you're confused by, you can bet the person next to you is also confused by. So does anybody want to ask me anything? Wow. There we are, I've put you all in the chance. Okay. Right, I'm just going to have a quick look at my notes because I haven't looked at them at all. Emotions. When we have this emotion spring on us, that suddenly we have fear or anxiety, and some people have anxiety all the time. There's this sort of, you can see when you talk to them that they're, you know, looking for the next bogeyman to come out the wall or something. It's because of an experience in our past. And we've learned to react to it in a certain way. So let's take major anxiety. If something really traumatic's happened to you when you're younger, you can't actually resolve it in your brain because it's not mature enough to go, well, it was just that. So you actually take a learning from it. And this is how phobias start. So a phobia can be something as simple as a spider's crawling across the ceiling at the same time as your parents are having a massive row and he said, I'll kill you or something like that. And you link the two things together, and every time you see the spider there, it reminds you of this other thing, but not at a conscious level. You have now got a spider phobia. So you, every time you see a spider, it's like, because death is linked to it. I had claustrophobia, and that was linked to death. If I went in a confined space, I was going to die. I just knew I was going to die. Right? And when I cured myself of it, it was actually by going, actually, the pain in my chest and the feeling I get and this anxiety is really not worth it because going in that confined space is not going to hurt me. But this is. And so I talked to this loop and said, come on, you know, I'm not having this anymore. I don't need this. I don't need to be frightened of that space. I'm more frightened of what you do to me to stop me going in the space. But my body thought it was helping me. And this is the thing, with everything that you're running that doesn't seem helpful for you, your body thinks it is. There's a bit of you in there that the survival mechanism is saying, I need to run this, this is very helpful for you. And it's not. And the problem is the protective shield that you've got that stops you from going in the confined space or stops you going near a spider has its own protective shield. Because it won't let you try and get rid of it. Because if I've got this protective shield and it's helping me, I think, then if somebody says, oh, I can take that off you. Right? I'm a hypnotherapist, I can take that protective shield off you. You go, well, what's going to happen now? So it also has its protective shield. So I quite often get people make appointments and then change their mind, even though it will seriously change their life for the better, because they're so terrified of what's going to happen with that shield. So one of my little metaphors is that some shields are like magnets. So if you have a negative shield, it's got this really strong magnet in it. And so you get out on the road one day and you think you need this shield because somebody's told you there's a knife attacker about you. So you buy this big magnetic shield and you go down the road one day and every bit of metal in the district starts flying at you. And you keep doing this and then you get burdened down by all this weight and then you go, but I need the shield because bits of metal keep jumping at me. And the reality is, throw the shield away. Right? And as soon as you realise that the shield's not doing you any good, you can get rid of it. And you do that by simply talking to your unconscious and bargaining with it. Okay? But the bargain you made with it has to include, treat it like a very small child. If you've got children and this age, you can't say to a small child, don't stick that knitting needle in that electrical socks. Because they'll be going, why is that there? And they do it. And your unconscious is just the same. So you have to talk to it like a very intelligent small child that's trying to please mummy or daddy. Right? It's trying to be helpful to you. So you can't say, well, you know, although you've got all these hundreds of thousands of things right every day, I'm not having this anymore, this one thing that you do that is hurting me. You have to apologise to it and say, you do this for me thinking it's really healthy and good, and everything else you do is brilliant. However, at some time I've given you that programme. I didn't mean to, I was quite young at the time. I really regret it now, and it's not helping my life. What would help my life is if I have this instead, and you give it an alternative. And you say, this is what I want to do from now on. If you just try and do this with willpower, you're actually running this automated program that's got 100 trillion data points to work with against 8. And it's also 100 times faster than your conscious mind. So usually, your unconscious has made up its mind before the conscious even becomes aware of what's happening. This is why when you get suddenly an emotion comes on, you have to look around and go, what's all this about? Why am I feeling like this, anxious or sad or whatever? So, does everybody want to have a chat with their unconscious? Anybody not want to do this? It's not dangerous in any way, shape or form. Does anybody have trouble standing up? Because this is the easiest way I know of getting to do it. Okay. Let me have a swig of water. We're all going to do it. I'll tell you what's going to happen first. And I'll tell you while you're doing it as well. So you don't have to sort of memorise every single bit of this. If my glamorous assistant will join me. Right. When I talked earlier about positive and negative self-talk, that you need to correct it into the positive talk, this is what the brain's hearing all the time. So even though some of it might come from the unconscious, it's coming from one of these loops, the negative talk, because it says, well, that's what you always do. Or you look in the mirror and you go, oh, you're a big fat bugger you. And then you feel horrible, so then you eat more buns. Next day you go, oh, you're even bigger fat bugger you. And you carry on like that. So you have to start being nicer to yourself and talk more positively. And once you start talking more positively to yourself, you can now strike up this thing with your unconscious because it hears everything you say. And you can prove that by just watching somebody on a phone. And they pick up the phone and you see them go, oh my God. And the whole body shuts down and yours does with them. Or they'll go, ah, great news. Right? So we're so easily influenced by just this thing and the vibes that we're giving off and other people are giving off. If we can look at things in a more positive way, then it always works out for the best. And a lot of people who are pessimists will say, ah, but I'm never disappointed then, because I never build up to anything, so I never No, in fact, you're always disappointed, right? You never actually find something that makes you happy, because you're worried that it'll be taken off you. And the idea is to live in the moment and enjoy everything that you do as much as you can. So, sorry, I got you out here early. Okay, so I'm just going to get Trudy to talk to her unconscious. We're just going to give it this little thing of saying, I just want you to prove to Trudy that the unconscious exists. Right? And I want you to do it in such a way that it's not, if it goes yes or whatever, you go, oh, it's just me thinking yes, so I just wanted it to say yes, so it says yes. And even if you do it with a little pendulum, you're not quite sure if you influenced it in some way. So I'm going to ask it to do something that is so large an item that you actually can't help but go, oh wow, that's sort of my unconscious, right? I'm only going to get it to say yes. I only ever train my unconscious to say yes. If you get it to say no, you've just got that naughty child on your hand that's going to stop you doing most things, because it's going to go back to its program. It's going to go, I want to do this now, and you're going to go no. Right? Because that's its instant reaction is, well, this has protected you until, you know, however old you are now, so I don't want to get rid of it. Whereas if you can chat to it nicely, you can actually convince it that it needs to let go. So we're just going to make sure it exists. So I want you to stand with your feet fairly close together, just on a point of balance. I want you to look above your eye line there. And I want you to just, whatever I think, or say, not what I think, whatever I say, I just want you to take on board. And so this is me talking to Trudy's unconscious now. And I just want you to give Trudy a sign for yes, but I want you to make it quite dramatic. So I want it to be something like that, or side to side. Okay? If anybody's got back or neck problems, I'll show you a different way. Has anybody got that? No. Okay. So, that's all I want you to do, is that, whichever you feel is best. So, to Trudy's unconscious, I just want you to give her a sign for yes that you exist and you're here today to help her. And that's how it goes. All right? Now, if you're with a partner or something, you can actually do that. So you just shake your shoulders a little bit just to give them the idea of how much it wants to go. And if you're with somebody, please sort of be there to support them. If anybody wants any help with this, me and Trudy will come around and do it. So if you'd all like to stand up, and I'll talk you through it. Okay. just be... Right. Okay, so you're all up for this, you all agree to do it. So I now want you to talk to your own unconscious. So take a few deep breaths for me. Just sigh. As Harry Hill would say, and relax. Okay? Right, now, close your eyes if you want to, or leave them open. Just whatever you can, just go inside to yourself and say, just to prove that you, to me that you exist and that I can talk to you in an easy and simple way, just give me a sign for yes that you're there for me today. And then let it move you in whatever way. And as soon as you've got the sign for yes, take a seat, please. And then I'll know who to help and who not. Okay? Right. Is she full? Okay.
If you'd like to take these two,
no, stay there. There you go. We're just going to have them over here. Sorry. Did you feel
that? Yeah, that's
fine. All right, that's fine. Sorry, you didn't. Right. Okay. So, your brain nearly gave you the right answer. So we're just going to ask you to go inside and actually give you a very firm and concrete answer to you that you know that it's saying yes. So I want it to do something like that with you. And just relax, let everything go. Let everything go and then ask for a yes. Okay, okay, so just a few deep breaths. Just relax yourself and that's just letting go. So we're not asking you to do anything at all. We're asking your unconscious for sign for yes. Okay? So just close your eyes. I want your unconscious to do something with you like that or that. And as soon as it's ready, just to give you a sign for yes, make it out. Yeah? Okay, well, okay. Fascinating, isn't it? Has anybody ever been in touch with their unconscious before like that? It is as quick and simple as that. And I do a lot of research, and I don't know anybody else that does it as fast and as simple as that. You can learn self-hypnosis, you can do all you like, but that's the easiest and quickest way to get into your unconscious. Once you've done it once or twice, it actually understands that. So you can actually just sit down, calm yourself down, nice and relaxed, and then just talk to it. But don't get in the habit of doing like yes, no, you know, should I marry Fred or Mary? don't start doing that, because what you're bringing out is all these loops that's already running in the background. So if you want to get in touch with it, it's about saying, I'm doing this, I don't want to do it anymore. Right? There's a better way of doing this. Thank you for everything else you do. And, sorry, I forgot at the end of that. Can you just all now take a deep breath? Close your eyes for a split second. And just say, thank you, unconscious, for working with me today. Because this thing has kept your heart and lungs and everything else going for all of your life, and you've never, ever thanked it. It's an amazing thing. Okay. So, from now on, and the creative bit I'll come back to as well, is that if you want to be creative now, all you need to do is ask where in the back of your mind is all the things that need to come together. But let it do it. If you've got something that you've puzzled for and puzzled for and puzzled for, let go of it. Because while you're consciously on, while you're consciously working on it, your unconscious won't work on it. So if you actually pass it over to your unconscious and you say to it, okay, tomorrow I've got this massive talk, Chester, what shall I do? And if I then worry, I won't actually come to any point. But if I actually go, well, what's the best things? What do I need to put together? The title of it is this, and I'll need to put some things together that merge. And what's the best example I can do? Okay, I'll leave it with you. And you do that, and you pass it over. If you do that just before you go to sleep, or in the few minutes in the morning when you've got the alarm on snooze, that's great, because you're actually programming yourself then. When that alarm goes off and snooze and you hit it, you can be asleep in seconds of your I can. And you can actually say, okay, right, what have I got today? What do I need to do? What's the major challenge of today? Okay, give me an answer to how to deal with it. And it will. But don't go looking for just yes, no answers, because it will run on this sort of the thing that you've always done, and that's not creative. Okay, in a few seconds I'll let you all go. There are some things that, if you could fill in some bits for us. There's a green form that is from BSSK, which is how good the speaker is. if you can, it's literally a few tick boxes of, is it fives or sixes? Something like that. Yeah, you just tick those, just the sixes. And there's a couple of bits we can write. There's a brochure there for you. There's a card. I do classes. I do one-to-one tutorials. I do coaching. And I do therapy for however long you've had something. I can take you right back and actually deal with the cause. And I usually deal with that in one session, between 3 and 5 hours. I can even work over Skype. I don't work much over the phone because I need to see people's reactions. So there's a lot of things there for you. Any other bits I need to do? Any other housekeeping? Oh, sorry, there's a prize draw as well. The prize draw is helpful to both you and me. One, it will show me the sorts of things and issues that you might want further knowledge about. And you put your email address on it and I'll write to you and send you that. If you've enjoyed my talk today, you'll also get an update. Every time I do a talk, I'll email the link to my website with the new talk on it. All right, so you get that each time. I don't send you salesy letters or anything out. You just get some good information as and when I come across it. I hope you've enjoyed today. I've enjoyed being with you. Thank you.